This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'na wa anfa'na bima 'allamtana innaka antal alim wal hakim. My dear respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we inshallah will carry on with the lessons from Imam Nawawi's Bustan al-Arifin, and we had completed up to now the essential parts of what Imam Nawawi has spoken about in terms of the intention. And what you may have already noticed is that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is not giving too much explanations from himself. All he's doing is just quoting some of the ulama, the righteous people from the past, and just saying what they have said about ikhlas. And that in itself is a kind of humility from the imam, because he is saying that, you know, these people are better, if you like, you know, place to define ikhlas. So now we're going to talk about, inshallah, another aspect of ikhlas, which is not usually something that we are, formally acquainted with in terms of terminology, and that is the word as-sidq, truthfulness. Now, a lot of the time when we hear the word truthfulness, we understand.
Women don't want to listen to the microphone. They have lecture.
Oh, they don't want to?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know which one to switch
off. We can just take this off, Khalas. We don't need this. Upstairs. Okay.
That's it.
So, okay.
Is that off?
I don't know. I'm not using this now. Khalas, I'll put this on the side.
Oh,
yeah, you can use it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the word as-sidq is usually, we usually associate the word sidq with purposeful truthfulness with their tongue, isn't it? You say somebody is sadiq when they speak the truth. But here, the definitions that Imam An-Nawawi mentions in Bustan al-Arifin is more about a wider and more deeper meaning of sidq, which is the truthfulness in terms of your attitude, your character, your heart, your sincerity. So it's the wider perspective of sidq. So he says, rahimahullah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us and him with the words, he said, وَأَمَّا الصِّدِقْ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, fear Allah and be with those who are صادقين, those who are truthful. And as we will explain now, inshallah, that this truthfulness has that wider meaning. He says that we have narrated from Al-Ustadh Al-Qushayri, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he said, As-sidqu imadul amr, wa bihi tamamuh, wa fihi nizamuh. That sidq is what really is the pillar of the affairs. And by the affair here, it means al-Islam. And this is a similar reference to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, Ra'sul amr, al-Islam. So the head or the pillar or the peak of all the affairs is Islam. So as-sidq is that pillar of Islam, and with as-sidq you will get that completion, and with the sidq you will have the correct organization and order that comes with it. And then he said, وَأَقَلُّ الصِّدْقِ إِسْتِوَاءَ السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ. The least level of a sidq and truthfulness, meaning in your sincerity, is when your outward and your inward are equal. And that means basically that part of being truthful is that you do not show something which you are other than this. And you can see what kind of character this would be. If a person shows something outwardly, but his reality is something else. Usually we would term this kind of person as a munafiq, somebody who has hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is levels, you know, there's nifaq of iman, and there's nifaq of amal, and so on. So the least format of sidq, the least level that a person has, is that they're outward, this what they're doing secretly and outwardly is the same. And he said, وَرُوِّينَ عَنْ سَهْلِ السَّقَطِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَالْ لَا يَشُمُّ رَائِحَةَ الصِّدْقِ عَبْدٌ دَاهَنَ نَفْسَهُ وَغَيْرَهُ. The one who will not smell the fragrance of Siddiq, meaning the one who is not and even near Siddiq, because to smell something you have to be in proximity to it. So a person who's not even smelling it, means he's far away, is a person who has compromised with himself, or he has compromised with others. So someone who has, if you like, compromised his situation. And we will understand, inshallah, later on what that means. And he said, we also narrated from Dhinnun, which we mentioned last week, Dhinnun al-Masri. He said, As-sidqu sayfullah ma wudhi'a ala shay'in illa qata'ah. The sidq is like the sword of Allah. Wherever it is placed on something, it will cut it. Meaning that the sidq, the truthfulness, is like a kind of a reality check. You know, it really puts things into perspective. When a person really wants to be truthful, they will show and expose things as they truly are. And then he said, وَرُوِّينَ عَنِ السَّيِّدِ الْجَلِيلِ الْإِمَامِ الْعَارِفِ الْحَارِثِ الْمُحَاسِبِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الصَّادِقُ هُوَ الَّذِي لَا يُبَالِي لَوْ خَرَجَ كُلُّ قَدْرٍ لَهُ فِي قُلُوبِ الْخَلْقِ مِنْ أَجْلِ صَلَاحِ قَلْبِهِ. So what Al-Harith said is that a person who is truthful, someone who is showing that truthfulness, is someone who, again, and you can see this kind of same meaning with the ikhlas here, but this is about being truthful to yourself, is that he is the one who does not care or does not is not bothered that even if all respect and all honor that people hold for that person goes out of their hearts, for the sake that he corrects his own heart. So, you know, people have status, you know, in front of others. You know, people look at people and they'll say, mashallah, this guy's an imam, this guy's a sheikh, this guy's this guy's that. They have a certain status. The person who is truthful, and that goes back to what we talked about before, about being equal in the eyes of people, whether they praise him or not, is that he said, that truthful person is not concerned. He's not concerned that if he loses all the regards from people, as long as it's for his own benefit. He wants to benefit. And that's also the bigger meaning of ikhlas. Because remember, we said that you don't do things for the sake of people. You're not concerned about how people hold you. Rather, you are concerned about how you are in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Harith al-Muhasibi rahimahullah, he goes on to say, وَلَا يُحِبُّ اطِّلَاعَ النَّاسِ عَلَى مَثَاقِيلِ مِنْ حُسْنِ عَمَلِهِ. And he will not love, or he does not love, or he's not, again, does not care, does not want that people look at, even if it's you know, a small aspect of his good works. So again, part of that is he doesn't care about whether they see his good works or not, again, showing that sincerity. Because at the end of the day, why are you doing these good works? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're doing the good works, and at the same time you want other people to see what you've done, and to say well done, or to praise you, or whatever, then there is an aspect of untruthfulness with yourself. And he goes on to say, so Al-Harith also says, وَلَا يَكْرَهُ أَن يَطَّلِعَ النَّاسِ عَلَى السَّيِّئِ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ فَإِنَّ كَرَاهَتَهُ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّ الزِّيَادَةَ عِنْدَهُمْ وَلَيْسَ هَذَا مِنْ إِخْلَاصِ الصَّدِّيقِينَ. So at the same time that he doesn't want people to look at the good deeds, he also doesn't hate or doesn't dislike or is not worried that they look at the bad deeds of his actions. What is bad of his actions? Because if he dislikes them to see his bad deeds, then this is an evidence, or this is an indicator that he wants to have more regard with them. Because obviously if they see him doing something bad, or maybe they don't quite see what he will lose that respect in their eyes. And so therefore again, he's now thinking about the people, not about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not from Ikhlasul Siddiqeen. Now there is a very finer point here as well, which you can say as an aside, is that a person who does something bad, he shouldn't be happy that people see him doing something bad. Yani it is part of a good, the good practice of, let's say the akhlaq of a believer, is that if he does something bad and he is aware that he's done something bad, is that he's not happy, he's not proud to have done that, and he wouldn't be happy that other people see him. Because you see, there's a fine line here, because between people who are happy or they don't care by doing something ma'asiyah, so they do the ma'asi, they do something wrong, and they don't care about people doing the ma'asi. These kind of people are people who are, if you like, they don't care about the ma'asiyah itself. They don't care about the sin itself. So they're happy doing ma'asi in front of others and they don't care. Here, in this, what he's talking about here is that if somebody does something which is bad and he doesn't like it, he knows it's haram, he knows it's wrong, and he doesn't want people to see it for the sake that they do not think they get the wrong aspect, that maybe he's doing something without care. So he doesn't fall into the other category. So it is an element of fine line. And at the same time, he shouldn't, while he still feels reservation and feels shame from doing the ma'asiyah, he shouldn't think, what are people going to say about me? Rather, he should, if he does the ma'asiyah, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. And that's why we have some kind of references from the actions of some of the righteous people from the past, is that they used to take into account what people viewed and how they looked at things, not for the sake of the people, but more for a bigger picture. You know, the bigger picture is that people don't get the wrong end of the stick when it comes to the deen and to the... And that's why the famous verse in which Maryam alayhi salam, she wished death. قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًا. I wish that I had died before this, and I was unknown and forgotten. Some people wrongly think that she said that because she was going through the pains of labor and childbirth. But in fact, what she was saying is she was more worried that people will get the wrong end of the stick about her, who now she's become pregnant and she's bringing a child and she's never been married and she doesn't have a husband. And also the fact that she was a person who was dedicated to the masjid. She was someone who was her parents as well, so she comes from the family of Ali Imran and related to Zakaria and Yahya and so on, that people will think that, look, Maryam, what she's done, she's brought a very, so the deen will then be attacked. So that's why she said, I'd rather not, I'd rather have died before this, and rather than the deen be attacked because of me and people think bad of me. She hadn't done anything wrong, but she was looking at the perspective of not wanting people to think bad. And on a different level altogether, we see like Imam Shafi'i, for example, he used to pray the Sunnah prayer in the masjid, even though he knew that the best sunnah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that the best sunnah is to pray in your house. He said, لا تجعلوا بيوتكم مقابر. Don't make your houses like graves, meaning because graves, people don't pray there. So make your sunnah prayer in the houses. But Imam Shafi'i, now and again, he would pray the sunnah in the masjid because he didn't want people to think, you know, some people don't understand, they don't know what the sunnah is, or they don't know what to pray, or whatever, or they might think that the ulama and the shuyukh, they don't pray the sunnah. They're praying the witr and they're just leaving. So sometimes there is an element of education, not for the sake of getting any reward or any position or status with the people, but rather to clarify things so that people don't understand things incorrectly. وقيل إمام نووي says وقيل إذا طلبت من الله الصدق أعطاك مرآة تبصر فيها كل شيء من عجائب الدنيا والآخرة. He said here, it is said, that means when they say it is said, Jazakallah khair, it's a sigat tamrid, so it's like it's a weakened narration because he's not saying who said it or where it's narrated, but it's like a almost like a, one of those things that we mentioned last time. It's almost like a trial and error. He said, if you seek from Allah the sidq, then He will give you a mirror from which you will see everything or most things from the bewildering things of the dunya and the akhirah. And I think it's more reference here to the mir'ah, the mirror, and obviously the most bewildering things is your own self. So the mirror allows you to look at yourself and to see in truth who you are and what you are about when you are truth. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then shows you this is the reality. You know, this is who you really are. And obviously that's closer to attaining the ikhlas and the righteousness. And then he said, وَرُوِينَا, we also have narrated from As-Sayyid al-Jalil Abi al-Qasim al-Junaid رضي الله عنه قال الصادق يتقلب في اليوم 40 مرة والمرائي يثبت على حالة واحدة 40 سنة. The one who is truthful, he changes, his state changes, or he continuously changes. In one day he might change 40 times. Whereas the one who is showing off, he will remain on one status or one situation or one condition or one appearance, for the same one for 40 years. So the truthful one is continuously changing, whereas the showing off person is not changing. And here Imam Nawawi chose to explain this because he thought maybe this is something that people need to understand a little bit more. That the truthful person is, his heart is with the truth. So wherever the truth is, he doesn't have a problem changing to that. So he might be doing something and then he finds out that there's more aspect from the sharia or for the knowledge or from the ilm to do something else. So he leaves that first thing, which might be his custom, and he does something else. And if there's something more important, you know, apparent comes to him and he cannot do the both of them together, then he goes to that which is better. So he doesn't have a problem changing in accordance to what is correct and what is shown to him to be correct, because he is with the truth. And therefore he will continue to do this. He will continuously change. He might even change, you know, 100 times, 1,000 times, because he doesn't have a problem. He will just change according to where he sees the benefit is, because that's where he... As for the person who's showing off, then he will always stay on the same situation because he has... is almost like he wants... People have known him in that situation. So he'll always do that situation for the sake of not... people not... misidentifying him and saying, well, you know, he's not doing this anymore or whatever and so on. So he always takes one situation, even though something comes to him and somebody says to him, look, actually the truth is this, do that, he will not change his way. He will continue doing that state that he is, even if it means staying most of his life doing the same. And that's because he is showing off with his ibadah. He wants the people to be aware of him. And if he changes that situation, people might think, well, why is this guy changed? And today we have, especially amongst the ulama and the people of knowledge and things like that, sometimes they will, no doubt, as somebody learns more and becomes more enlightened, they will see things that maybe they haven't quite seen before. And no doubt, it does happen more, I suppose, to the people who have ilm, is that they're afraid if they do change their opinion or they say something, that people then judge that person according to the fatwa that he's given or whatever, because he is, they are more, some people, like people have standards, you know, some people have a standard which they think is right, not because they have studied it or whatever, it's just maybe either propaganda. You know, so somebody keeps hammering on to you that this is the way, this. They think that that is, halas, that is the acceptable opinion or whatever. So when they see a fatwa that goes against that, they might question that. And no, this ayah doesn't know that, it doesn't have the knowledge and so on and so forth. So the risk for the scholar there is that he might not want to say the truth or not speak out because he's afraid that people will they will judge him or they will assess him or they will isolate him or whatever. Al-Imam Al-Ghazali, he on this chapter, he explains some matters and he has some sayings with regards to Sidq. So he says, Sidq, truthfulness, is essentially different levels. So the first level is the truthfulness of the tongue. And that's why, this is what we understand generally. When we say Sidq, we are thinking about the truthfulness, somebody that doesn't lie. And without doubt, every person should guard what they say, to make sure that he does only speaks that which is true, does not speak anything that is false. And even here, Imam Al-Ghazali says, even you have to be careful from something called Al-Ma'arid. Al-Ma'arid are when somebody says something which is true, but he said it in a way to give, give a different picture in a person's mind because he doesn't want to give him the full story. So you're so he's not lying, but he is he's almost like give important that we don't, you know, beware of these kind of things because they might be, you know, falling within the aspect of lying. I don't know, is that clear? Do people understand? I don't know if they have a word for that in English. So they say al-ma'arid or al-tawriya, you know, so almost giving a different, different understanding or something that some people might imagine something or perceive something, but actually he means something else, just so to...
Kind of bending the truth.
Huh?
Bending the truth.
It's I don't know if we could say bending the truth. It's more like... it's like giving a different aspect. So you are almost it's like misleading somebody to think something else, and even that in itself, as I say, it's not lying. Sometimes it can be used for causes. Like for example, if you wanted to, you wanted to bring people together, two people who are arguing or they have a problem, and you wanted to bring them together, you might, you might mention his name or whatever to the other person in a way which he thinks or understands that that guy is asking about him. So it's like almost giving him a different impression.
Is that insinuate?
I think it's what insinuate is a form of it. It can be a form of it, but it's not exactly that. Yeah.
He's doing this. There's the same situation as Ibrahim and Nimrod. He told, "This is my."
Yes, Jazakallah khair, Barakallah khair. So yeah, what Ibrahim alayhi salam, for example, did with Nimrod and with the leader of Egypt. He gave him. He said something to him. The other guy tried to think the opposite way, but he wasn't. He wasn't lying, but he was just trying to not. The other guy didn't. So when they went to Egypt with his wife, and the ruler caught them, and he asked Ibrahim, "Who is this with you?" Okay, so Ibrahim said, "This is my sister." Okay, so here he was referring to, meaning that my sister in Islam, yani. She's my sister in Islam. Because if he had said this was my wife and that king had wanted her, then he would have had to kill Ibrahim, you know, because he's her husband. So he would have acted in that way. So by saying it's my sister, prevented him from being killed. So he didn't lie, still the truth, but he said it in a way for the other person to understand something different. And obviously in this case, Ibrahim alayhi salam did this because there was a purpose, which is to protect oneself. And indeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also did this in one occasion where he, to give the people a different, different thought, so that, because when they were chasing him out of Mecca, he was running, going to Medina, and some people, asked about him. Now he was, being chased, and there's a price on his head, that whoever catches Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will get 100 camels. So people were looking out. So when they met some people, that person asked the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr, "Where are you from? Where are you from?" So the Prophet ﷺ said, "From water, min ma," giving the understanding that some people would understood that when water means the water of Iraq. Okay, that means it's like coming from Iraq. But the Prophet ﷺ was saying min ma, meaning that we are from water, and we are created from water. So it's not a lie, but it's to deter him, so he doesn't think that if the Prophet ﷺ said, "I'm coming from Mecca," or whatever, this guy would have tried to harm them or so on. So that's why even Ghazali said, even so, to keep away from this, except if there is a reason to do so, and everybody will assess the need accordingly. So that's the first stage. The second one is the truthfulness in the niyyah, and the intention and the want. And that obviously is related to ikhlas, and we've already spoken a lot about ikhlas. So it's about being truthful in your intention. The third level is the truthfulness in one's resolve to do things, al-azm. So here it is about trying to be truthful in wanting to do things and to achieve things which are good, and to have a very strong resolution which has no weakness, no deviation, no inclination, no second guessing, no doubt, but to go full about it. And that's another meaning of truthfulness, that when you say something, you are truthful and you go ahead and do that. And the fourth level is to be truthful in fulfilling one's promise. So when you do a promise, you fulfill it in the best way, even though it might go against your wishes or your desires. And he said that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about some of the men, he said, رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. There were men who were truthful in what they promised Allah, or what they had made an oath towards Allah. So when they do something, they fulfill it. And the fifth one, he said, is truthfulness in actions. And that is a person who takes the appropriate work and struggle and effort that is that his external actions, so he does the effort, that his external actions do not convey something which is different from his internal. Okay, and that's the kind of truthfulness that we've been saying, hearing with the different qualities. An example given here by Imam Ghazali as well is that, for example, when you're standing in Salah, okay, you're standing in Salah and you are you're making out as if you're really, you know, khushu' and humble, and maybe, you know, bending a little bit like this, and as if, you know, so the person looking at you thinks that this guy is, mashallah, he's very concentrating in Salah, has the khushu', whereas internally he is, you know, somewhere else, he's thinking about other things or whatever. So this is the, you know, the five levels of Siddiq that Imam Ghazali mentions. So basically, just to summarize, inshallah we'll end there, is that truthfulness is to try and make things, you know, the level of truthfulness is to make things equal between the external and the internal. That's about being true. And more than this is either the person is intern is like his external, or that his intern is better than his external. So what he actually does either privately or what he's is better than his external, because he doesn't want the people to adjust his external, and they think of him better than what he is internally. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. So be amongst those, or be with those who are truthful, because no doubt, when you sit with somebody, when you associate with somebody, you will learn from them, and you will attain from them, and you will be able to have those kind of learn the qualities from them. And even if you don't learn it, it, you know, the nature of attitudes and behavior and things like that is that they imprint on each other. So even if you sit with people who are, you know, badly behaved, people who are of certain characters, etc., you will find that quickly you will start to behave that way. And if when you sit with people who are people of truthfulness, people who are tranquil, people who are calm, people who remember Allah, people, then you will be affected by that. That's why Allah said, "Kunu ma'a sadiqin," because it's almost like an indication that as-sidq is also something that needs to be practiced and need to be looked into and catered for in a person's life to be able to attain that kind of level. Okay, any questions?
One thing is...
Yes.